today is just very brief. It comes from 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. I want to show you two lists this morning. So take a look at the list. And I would like to know, which one do you think best characterizes the values of Jesus and his followers? List one or list two? Which best characterizes Jesus when he was on earth and his followers today? How many would pick list one? How many would pick list two? How many would pick both? That's not an option. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Well, these lists are from the book that was written in the early 90s by a man, last name was Gray. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And so this is the men's list, this is the woman's list. Now just think about that with me for a moment. We, particularly in American Christianity in recent years, I think have made Christianity a lot about this and not much about that. And so what happens is a lot of guys look at the church and they think the church is for women. Because what's a Christian guy like? Well, he's a nice guy. He doesn't rock the boat. Peace at any price. He's just a nice guy to be around. Now, I want to ask you, do you think Jesus Christ called us to be nice guys? Well, he didn't call us to be jerks, okay? I admit that. But is it enough to be just simply a nice guy? I want to talk to you, the men today especially, and I'm not going to talk to you like some Father's Day messages, beat you over the head and say, what a rotten father you are, get your act together, that kind of stuff. No, that's not the message, okay? Don't run out of here yet. I want to call out the heart of a warrior that God has wired into every man. So I'm going to speak especially to guys. So ladies, you know, don't have to start playing solitaire on your phone. Stay with me. You'll get some of this, you'll get something out of this too. And I'll just say up front, ladies, what we need as guys more than anything is respect. Now, I know there are a lot of times we don't deserve it. Okay, I admit that. But respect is like oxygen to us. And if we don't get it, we don't live well. So even when we don't deserve this, you can find in your heart to somehow show respect and affirmation to us. It'll go a long ways for us guys, okay? I'm just saying. And the one way that you don't help us, I mean, I'll change that way I said it. One of the ways you cannot help us is by nagging us. Don't try to tell us what to do, please. That just doesn't work. I mean, it may surprise you, but when you're not with us, we do a perfectly good job of finding a parking spot and parking it on our own. You know what I'm saying, right? Now, I know you women always think quicker than us. And so you've already got, you know, the best places picked out. But just let us park our cars. You know, just, that's okay. It's not a big deal. So I'm just joking. But you know what I mean. I'm not joking. Because I don't know how often I've said, honey, I can park it by myself. You know, I can do this. Okay. But you get the point. You ladies are much quicker. You think faster. But give us time, you know. Give us time. We'll catch up. And but also on the other hand, guys, God created marriage for a purpose. And he gave you that woman because he knew that you would be more together than you would be apart. And a man who will not listen to the advice of his wife is a fool. So we'll just say that too, okay? Women, I'll just throw that in too. Now, that doesn't mean we always have to do what our wife says, but we ought to at least listen to her advice, okay? There's a lot of amens here today. That's good. So, as long as you don't start elbowing. But but we need each other. And but today the focus is especially on guys. So I want to just invite you to follow along in the outline. Men, we have to understand our calling. What's our calling? Well, it goes back to God, right? Remember, our God is a warrior. Now, you don't often think of God that way, probably. You may think of him as creator and provider and, you know, majestic and holy and all that. But the Bible presents God as a warrior. A warrior. For example, Exodus 15. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And you understand the context. We live in a world where there's a battle going on between the forces of God and the forces of evil. And we're in the midst of that. And God is a warrior. He's fighting for his people. He's fighting. He's accomplishing his purposes. He's a warrior God. And he is wired into the heart of every man, the heart of a warrior. And so, number two is, he calls us into a battle. And I'm not trying to over-dramatize something. We're in a battle. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a bit. We're in the battle for our hearts, for our minds, for our families, for our marriages. There are so many temptations, so many pressures, so many things that drive us apart or lead our kids astray. We have to be the warriors. We have to be the guys who lead the way. We live in a war zone. Psalm 144 says, praise be to the Lord my God, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Now, one of my gym buddies sent me a picture this week. I am a Christian, but make no mistake, I will defend the weak. I will defend freedom. I will sacrifice so that others may be free. I will defend my family to the death. I love peace, but I am a fierce enemy. I live by the word of God. I live with honor. I was born to be a warrior. We were born to be warriors, man. Now, don't get the wrong idea. Let me explain what that means. This next verse, I think, is critically important. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Okay, so don't get this picture that I'm describing to you. Go out there and be macho, be domineering, take control. That's not what we're describing. We talk about the heart of a warrior, not a Christ-like warrior. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, the lies of the evil one. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What he's saying is there, we don't fight battles like the world does. It's not about power. It's not about domineering. It's not about being macho. It's not about controlling. In fact, the godly leader is one who humbles himself and serves. That's a different kind of battle, but it's just as critical, and it's far more powerful. Because the man who can serve his wife and love his kids and to do that in a way that honors Christ is a powerful, powerful man. So we're called to be warriors. We don't fight like the world does. But what's happened in our world is men have been emasculated. Men have been, well, the reaction is either they react with the macho or they become passive. We've got a lot of passive men in our world today. Sitting in front of the TV, they don't want to engage with their wife, they don't know how, they've never been shown. Most men don't want to be jerks. But many men haven't been shown how to love their wife or how to train their kids. It's never been lived out in front of them. And so they become passive, and they just pull back. And many women's hearts are broken because they've got a passive husband who doesn't want to get engaged, who doesn't want to get involved, who doesn't want to talk. That's not the answer. So the macho side isn't the answer. The passive side isn't the answer. But the godly warrior side, I think, is what God calls us to. And I believe these two short verses that we read describe this. So let's look at them briefly, and then I want to give you a picture that I hope will be helpful, and we'll close the message with that. Act like men. What does that mean? You know, we often say, well, be a man. Man up. What does that mean? Act like a man. It means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Now, interestingly, how the New International Version has put that, the third phrase there, what now is translated, be courageous, in the King James Version has this interesting phrase, quit you like men. Now, that's Old English, remember, it's 400 years old. Quit you like men. In fact, my wife has a tapestry with the alphabet, and A is, and each one is a Bible verse, and the Q has that verse, quit you like men. What does it mean? Well, you look up quit in the Old English, and it means acquit or conduct yourself. So acquit yourself or conduct yourself as a man. Interesting. What does that mean? I think if we take these phrases, it gives us a picture. Number one, be on your guard. Be on your guard. A man recognizes that there is danger out there. A man recognizes that he has to have his defenses up. He has to be aware. You live life with your eyes open, especially if you have people whom you care for. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Wow, that was a picture. We have an enemy, folks. His name is Satan, the deceiver, the accuser. He's got his minions, his forces, his cohorts, and he is seeking to bring every one of us down. You go on your email, and with one click, there are over 50-year-old women who just want to meet a guy. Now, I don't know how they know I'm over 50 and would want somebody older, but you know what I'm saying. One click. The devil's got you again. He's got your mind. He's got your attention. He makes promises to you. He seeks to deliver something that he can't deliver. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. Your kids, do you know what they're watching? If they got their computer in their bedroom or their hand device in their bedroom, do you know? Do you take seriously enough your role as a dad to guard your home from the influences that you don't want there? Be on your guard for your own mind, for your own heart. Don't be led astray. Don't let something break up your marriage. Fight for it. Not fight with your wife, but fight for your marriage. You know what I'm saying? Don't give up. Be on your guard. Stand firm. Here's the second one. Stand firm in the faith. Be on your guard. A warrior is one who is alert and aware of the potential dangers, and in the midst of it stands firm in the faith. Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, there are so many guys who don't end well, who don't stand firm. And the destruction in the path is monumental. Kids' lives, women's lives, guys who have sacrificed their jobs for internet porn, lost everything, men who have sacrificed their families because somebody gave them some money and got them into trouble. And you know, I read recently of, you know, Border Patrol agent, $10,000. Sacrificed his career, his family. He's in prison, $10,000. It's not worth it, folks. It's not worth it. Sin promises and it can't deliver. What you have in Christ and in your family is worth standing firm with. Don't give up on it. If you need help, get help. You know, I wasn't always the sweet, lovable guy I am today. I just want to say, you know. About 10, 12, 13 years in marriage, we got counseling. I didn't want counseling. I didn't need counseling. I don't need stinking counseling, right? That's what we think, guys, right? We don't need that. I'm sure glad we got it. Get help. Stand firm. Don't give up. There's too many people out there who are giving up on them, on their marriages, on their families. They're running. We're warriors. We're men of honor. We don't do that. Be men of courage, number three. Be strong. Challenges are going to get even more intense, I think, in our world. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's our hope, right? God is with us. We can be warriors. We can be faithful. We can continue working at what it means to be a godly husband or a godly businessman or whatever it might be. I'm talking to all the guys, not just the ones who are married. Be men of courage. And then this one. Do everything in love. See, once again, it puts it, oh, but this isn't the way the world looks at this. Oh, be strong, be courageous, do blah, 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 blah. No, but do everything in love. Our battle is not with other people. Our battle is against the forces of darkness. To stand as the light, to stand as his representatives. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. How did he show his love? He gave himself up for us. Men of honor are willing to give whatever it takes to love their wives, to love their kids, to protect them, to do what's right. Yes? Yes. Your daughter comes out of her bedroom. She's 15 years old, and she's wearing something that you would not want her out on the streets in. What do? You rant and rave, yell and scream, call her names, demean her. No, it's not what a man of honor does. It's not what a warrior does. Just let her go? No. Honey? I wonder if maybe there's something else she could wear. You know how that's going to go over, right? Oh, Dad. No, really, honey. I love you too much to let you go out in that. What's wrong? Honey, I know what guys think. I know what guys look at. I don't want guys looking at you like that. I really want you to wear something else. Oh, you're such a... Honey, I love you too much to let you go out wearing that. And if it comes right down to it, and you have to say, you are not leaving this house wearing that, you say it. Because that's what a man does who wants to protect his kids. Right? Now, if she's 22, you can't do that. But if she's 15, 16, whatever, you got to take a stand. You got to let your daughter know that you love her so much that you're willing to even have her be angry with you, but do the right thing. Right? A few years ago, there was a young lady. She wasn't part of our church family. Her family wasn't, but she came to youth with one of our kids from our church family. And she came in one Saturday for some event that was going on, and she had a blouse on with a Playboy symbol, a bunny. And I said, oh, man, do I just say anything? Do I say? And I said, okay, I got to say something. So I just went up to her and said, hey, I wonder why, you know, you chose a blouse with that symbol. Oh, I just like it. Oh, okay. Do you know what that stands for? Well, it's nothing. No, really. I mean, that symbol stands for a way of looking at women. That Playboy symbol stands for a philosophy, an idea, a culture that looks at women as objects for men's pleasure. You're beautiful. And she was very attractive. you are a beautiful young lady. I'm not sure you really want that. Because the message it gives to guys, is that really what you want to communicate? I think you can do that in ways that you don't rant and rave and get all crazy, drive your kids away. But at the same time, you don't just passively let whatever happens happen. You know what I'm saying? Warriors take a stand. They defend their kids. They seek to do what's right. Because we love them. And we want what's best for them. And we put ourselves on the line for that. Be strong. Be men of courage. Do everything in love. How do we do that, guys? How do we become those kinds of men? Let me give you a picture. I want to challenge, and this will be the conclusion of the message, to follow the greatest man who ever lived. Who's the greatest man who ever lived? Jesus Christ. He was a man. Now, he was God. God and man at one. But too often in our pictures of Jesus these days is a picture of an effeminate-looking guy either playing with kids or with some lambs. It's just not the kind of guy you'd like to follow. But I'm telling you, Jesus, for most of his adult life, was a carpenter, which in those days meant stonemason. So he was rugged. He was outdoors. He was strong. He was a guy's guy. I mean, some effeminate little wussy isn't going to go into the temple courts and drive out all the money changers because he's angry with what they're doing to his father's house. Now, would he? I mean, and to confront the powers of darkness, demons. Remember when he crossed the lake and this guy comes out of the tombs and nobody could contain him and he's all cut up because the demons have just so destroyed his mind, and Jesus just goes right up to him and confronts it. He's a man. He's the kind of guy I want to follow. Yes? So, the greatest man who ever lived, what was he all about? I've got a picture. I hope it's helpful. It comes from a book called The Map by David Murrow. And basically, the mountain symbolizes manhood, okay? True masculinity, reaching our potential as men, however you'd want to describe it. Now, you have the symbol, which is for? Okay, female. And? Male. Okay, so female side, male side, all right. We are all born on the female side, right? We're carried in the womb of a woman. We're nursed at the breast of a woman. But very quickly, a boy wants to differentiate himself as male. And whatever our culture says about men and women all being wired the same, forget it. Boys are wired differently than girls. Just go on the playground, you know, and women, don't get all upset when your guy, little boys eat their peanut butter sandwich into the shape of a gun and start pointing at each. They're wired to be warriors, okay? So you have to guide it, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, so very quickly, we want to move to this side as boys. We want to know, do I have what it takes to be a man, right? Can I be a man? What does it mean to be a man? So this picture here, we call those the macho foothills, okay? So a lot of guys don't get anywhere past this. They get this little macho thing, and they think they're men, and they, you know, try to conquer women, and they whatever it is that they do to be men, in their opinion. But it's just the foothills. It's not the mountain that God intends for men. Now, why is it so hard for men, particularly, to become believers in many cases? Why is it so hard for men to give themselves to Christ? I want to suggest to you, it's because it feels like I'm abandoning my masculinity. It feels like I'm going this way. Put the word in, please, Vanessa. The first journey to true Christian manhood is the journey of submission. It's submitting to Jesus Christ. It's yielding to Him. It's recognizing our sin. It's saying, I cannot do this on my own. I submit to you, God. I want to be yours. I can't be the warrior you want me to be without your help. It's admitting our need, right? Submission. You become a Christian by submitting to Christ, accepting His salvation, and then the second journey is the journey of strength. And that's when we begin to live into the true manhood that Christ created us to live into. But we cannot live into this strength if we seek to do it on our own. It always comes first through the journey of submission, which feels like, I don't want to admit my need. I don't want to give up. It feels like we're going to the other side. Now, does it mean women are weak? And I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying what goes on in a man's heart, in a man's mind. If you come to Christ at an early age, a journey of submission, you've got your whole life to live out in the strength of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's the goal, that's the desire. Some of us are middle-aged and we've never submitted to Christ. I understand that. You can still do that. You can still do that and have whatever years left. See, the journey of strength is when you start, by the power of God at work in you, you start loving your wife like you ought. You start taking care of your kids in new ways. You start standing up for right at work in a different way. You start sharing the story of your salvation with people. You become strong. Does it make sense? Talk to me a little here, okay? Submission, we yield to Christ. He begins to live His life through us, the journey of strength. So most of our life can be here. And then the last journey is the journey of sacrifice. And that's when we get, I don't know if I'm there yet, but we get towards the end of our lives and we realize we cannot do what we used to do. And we realize that most of the accomplishments of our lives are behind us. And we begin to realize we're not as strong as we used to be. And towards the very end, basically, it's the sacrifice of our lives as we seek to pass on what we have. We can, whatever we can do to pass on what God has done in our lives to those who are younger. We're no longer front and center like maybe we were when we were younger. We now turn our lives over to Him. And that feels weak again, doesn't it? That's why it's pictured as kind of going back this way. But to be a man who knows what it is to submit to Christ and to live in His strength and to end life well, that's a beautiful thing. Yes? Now I invite you guys, where are you on this? Maybe still over here in the macho place? You don't have to stay there, man. Submit to Christ. Come to Him. Pray to Him for His salvation. I know it feels like it's the only way. And then let Him start living that strength in you. And there's a few of us who are up here. And that's okay. It's okay. We're called to be warriors. God has wired that into every one of our hearts, man. And every choice you make either builds that or goes in the other direction. Either continues what a warrior is called to do, be strong, courageous, doing everything in love, or it's the other side. I invite you today to be men of honor, to be men of Christ, men who are warriors. Humble yourself before King Jesus. And then rise up. Guys, we've got to rise up. And we've got to be those kingdom warriors. And maybe you are not a father, but there are men in your life where you can influence. If you're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, man, you ought to be passing along something to 20-year-olds. I truly believe that the generation that's coming behind us just longs to see men who know what it's like to be men in a good sense, right? In a good sense. They see too much of this old macho crap. They want to see, can it really work? Can a man really love his wife for a lifetime? Can a couple really make marriage work? If you've got something, share it with the kids. Share it with the young people. Pass it on. We need to be mentors of others. Whatever stage you're in, whatever place, married, unmarried, father, not a father, grandfather, what is God calling you to do? What's he calling you to do? I want to pray. And men, if you want to be one of these kingdom warriors, I invite you to stand, and I'll pray for you. You want to be a kingdom warrior? The numbers show across the United States, in any given Sunday in a worship place, 60% of the adult congregation is women. 40 is men. 60-40. I don't know what our numbers are here. I think we beat that a little. Church is not for women and kids alone. It's for men who are willing to be godly warriors. Yes? Lord, here we stand before you. Men. We get so many crazy messages about what it means to be a man in our culture, Lord. We want to hear from you. We want you to show us, oh God, what it means to be true warriors. Not using the weapons that the world uses. Dominance, machoism, sarcasm, control. But to use the weapons that you give us. Faith, love, courage, strength. Lord, I pray for each of us as your men, that we would be godly men, we'd be men of God, that we would learn more and more. If we don't know it now, we would seek the help we need to know how to love our wives, how to help our kids, how to mentor others. Lord, oh man, if there ever was a time where we need many, many, many men of God, today is the day. May we be those men. In Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let's all stand and close our worship.